The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You are listening to The Inconclusive Breakdown, your weekly anti-PC look at entertainment and pop culture news.
Coming to you from the frustrated incorporated compound overlooking the beautiful Arizona Bay, this is an Inconclusive Breakdown. I'm your host, Justin, joined as always by Skeets the Wonder Dog, Vince.
Hey.
Juan will be here. He is in Black Friday traffic, or traffic of African descent, sorry.
Oh, my.
Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving, sir?
It wasn't awful.
I'm guessing that's good.
It wasn't bad. How was yours?
Okay. It was a day. It happened. Turkey. Good.
I had oyster dressing.
Ooh.
I know.
I didn't have any of that.
It was delicious.
I had the cornbread dressing.
That's not bad.
Still good stuff, yeah. The oyster dressing, that's good stuff, though.
I know.
Yeah. Now I'm jealous.
I know.
Good way to start the show with me jealous.
A fat guy jealous of food. All imagine right. That.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Coming up on this week's show, we'll talk the terror attacks in London and the Netherlands. Virginia lawmakers have lost their mind. Talk about that. Rise of Skywalker, D&D, DC Comics have now bowed down China. Angela Merkel, free speech, and much more. Top 10 lists this week are YouTube channels, which is ironic considering ours is no longer active. And we will answer your listener questions. All right, you ready to get into this, sir?
Not really, no.
Hey, I'm more than happy to just call it a show.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's go TV news this week. Hey, that Mandalorian's a big hit.
I've never watched it. I haven't seen it yet.
No, you haven't. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Wink. Yeah. The Obi-Wan show, we know that's still coming. Cassian's going to get his own show. But those aren't the only Star Wars series that's coming to Disney+. Bob Iger confirmed last earnings call, and we had the story that more Star Wars series in various forms are in development. We have rumor on two. One could possibly be a Dr. Aphra series. If you don't know who she is, she's a very popular character created for the comic books. Has her own ongoing comic. She worked for Vader in the comics prior to going off on her own. Post New Hope era. Two droids to go with her, kind of like evil versions, R2 and 3PO. Kind of like a female Indiana Jones with, you know, crazy robots that back her up.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a Short Round was, you know, a homicidal robot.
Nice.
Yeah. And the other one that they're rumored to be doing, we could be getting a Darth Maul series.
Look, Vader, I got no legs.
Darth Maul, you got magic legs. Yeah. He had the cameo in the Solo movie, which was a bomb. But it looks like he's either going to be a part of the Obi-Wan series or get his own. Let's say latest intel says that Lucasfilm is developing an entire series revolving around Maul. Pretty confident on the information, too, because it comes from the people who said back in May that the Obi-Wan show was coming, and that was months before it was officially announced. So, pretty good chance we're getting a Darth Maul series. If it's as good as Mandalorian, okie dokie.
Right.
We finally have a name and synopsis for the new Walking Dead spinoff. It will be called The Walking Dead World Beyond. There's an Instagram account now, and they gave a first look at the script for the pilot episode. It will open, or focus on a group of young men, women, and kids whose experience, I can't talk this morning, and the zombie apocalypse has been much less immediately dangerous than the normal shows. They've grown up in the apocalypse, the creator says. They're aware of walkers. They haven't interacted with them. They've been living beyond walls. That makes any journey to get anything incredibly dangerous. They are affected in different ways by what has happened. They don't remember much of a world without walkers. This is the normal world for them, but they've been apart from it. They've been in safety. There will be a quest aspect to the show. They're going somewhere. They have to leave their place of safety and put themselves in danger to get to where they need to go. So there you go. I don't care, really, sadly.
I'm kind of tired of the whole zombie thing.
Yeah, it's about getting played out. Time for vampires to make a comeback.
Oh, Jesus.
Non-sparkly vampires. Netflix has the series The Toys That Made Us, which is a fantastic show. But now the makers of that have launched a new series called The Movies That Make Us. I believe it has hit Netflix now. It's on there now. Season one will take a deeper look at the movies Dirty Dancing, Die Hard, Home Alone, and Ghostbusters. I did watch the Ghostbusters episode. Fantastic. They're almost like little short documentaries.
Oh, Lord.
Really, really good. The Ghostbusters one is really, really good. So, and plus, it's Dirty Dancing, and if you don't like Dirty Dancing, something's probably wrong with you.
I don't like that movie.
Well, that just summed up what I said. Thank you.
Holy crap. You like that?
It's Swayze.
That is surprising.
He's like a Renaissance man Chuck Norris.
No, not at all.
Fine. Just watch Roadhouse.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm all right with that.
It's got Terry Funk. Yeah. Next thing here, Supergirl star Melissa Benoist, which I finally learned how to pronounce her last name.
Oh, her name rhymes with Moist.
Yes.
No wonder nobody likes her.
Well, apparently she came out this week and put a 14-minute video up on Instagram that basically said, "I'm a survivor of domestic violence," or IPV, intimate partner violence. She said she met her perpetrator at a time in her life when she had just gotten out of a relationship and wasn't eager to get into another one. After becoming friends, they started dating, and a relationship immediately felt like a runaway freight train. She says the abuse began as emotional manipulation, that her partner was often jealous, looked at her devices, got angry when she spoke to other men, asked her to change clothes so others wouldn't look at her, and got angry when she did romantic scenes at work. Work in general was a very touchy subject. He didn't want me kissing or even having flirtatious scenes with men, which is very hard for me to avoid, so I began turning down auditions, job offers, test shots, and friendships because I didn't want to hurt him. First incident of violence occurred 5 months in when the threw a smoothie at her face. She kept the incident a secret out of shame and fear. Said I learned what it felt like. I felt like I would be pinned down and slapped repeatedly, punched so hard I had the wind go out of me, dragged by my hair across pavement, headbutted, pinched until my skin broke, slammed against the wall so hard the drywall broke, and choked. She would lock herself in rooms and said doors broken down. A turning point occurred when the partner threw an iPhone at her face, allegedly tearing her iris to the point where it nearly ruptured her eyeball and broke her nose. An injury that has changed her vision forever. She lied to the nurses and police about how she got the injuries, but soon mustered the courage to be able to confide in a friend about what was going on. She said, "The more people I let in, the more I was bolstered." She then broke off the relationship with the partner. Said she wanted to tell her story to kind of bring more light to it. One in four women and one in four men have experienced some kind of violence from their partners. One in seven women and one in 25 men have been injured by their partner.
Why would you air that out on social media?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Unless you are trying to bring awareness and say, look, if you're getting beat up, there's help out there.
Or your show is tanking.
Or your ratings are going down and you want a sympathy bump.
Sorry. You know, I saw this and didn't believe any of it.
It's Hollywood, so there you always have to think there's an ulterior motive, sadly.
Yeah, I don't believe any of it. I'm sorry. I looked at that and saw paid actor.
Yeah.
That's awful, but it's true.
Last thing for TV news this week. Vince, we have something to be thankful for.
Oh, yeah?
Netflix's Mystery Science Theater 3000 revival with Jonah Ray.
Yeah.
Has been canceled. The timing was especially tragic because it was canceled. They announced the cancellation the day before Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is when the first MST3K debuted in 88. So timing was ironic.
Good.
But ding dong, ding dong, that bitch is dead. So
Riff Tracks, watch Riff Tracks.
Right, yeah, just watch the original.
No
it's
shit.
It's those guys. Let's go to movies. The Justice Department has filed a motion in federal court on Friday to terminate the Paramount consent decrees. The arguments have governed the theatrical business for 70 years. The head of the department's antitrust division announced in a speech on Monday that he would take action to end the decrees, which he argued are outdated.
Antiquated.
No longer meet consumer antiquated. Thank you. And no longer meet consumer interests. The decree was a result of a 10-year antitrust legislation, which ended with a Supreme Court decision in the government's favor in 48. The rules required studios to divest themselves of their theatrical arms and prohibited certain anti-competitive policies in the distribution process. Basically, long story short, movie studios, aka Disney, can now buy theaters and theater chains.
Mega and only show just their
keeps
shit.
Getting big and only show their stuff. Yep, nice way to push the competitors out.
Antiquated,
that's a word that I couldn't pronounce.
It's great, isn't it?
Yep. Oh, we gotta talk about Rise of Skywalker.
No, they could fly.
Yes, stormtroopers could fly now. They got that, you know, Tinkerbell dust.
They said it. They said it five times.
Yeah.
They said BB-8 said it. Chewbacca said it. C-3PO said it. Finn said it. And then, yeah, that guy said it.
I never seen the stormtrooper fly. Yeah. but apparently, a script almost got into the hands of a fan on eBay. J.J. Abrams went on Good Morning America and told the story. One of our actors, I won't say which one, I want to, but I won't, left it under their bed and it was found by someone who was cleaning their place. It was given to someone else and then tried to sell it on eBay. Abrams noted that Disney discovered the script almost immediately and got it back. According to Abrams, it didn't go. They got it back before it sold. With all the security, you got to be careful. We now know who the actor was, though. The actor came out and admitted who it was. It was, I can't think of his real name, but Finn.
John Boyega.
Black guy. Yeah, it was him. Left his script under the bed.
Nice job, stupid.
I mean, who would want to, you know, the script that lets you know that Rey's Palpatine's granddaughter? Jeez. Spoilers.
I don't care.
I don't either. It's going to bomb. It's going to make money, but it's going to be a disaster.
All my friends want to see that shit.
Visually, it looks beautiful.
That's the worst part about it.
That's the only thing.
Everybody, Brad, I know you're listening, will bitch about how they've ruined Star Wars, but he'll still go see that movie.
Visually, it looks beautiful. Story-wise, it ain't there.
Yeah, so. It's shit.
It's literally, can you polish a turd?
They can.
All right. Apparently they can. They have that Disney money. They can polish any types of turds. If you loved anything from the Chappelle Show, it was when the Wu-Tang told you to diversify your portfolio. One Hollywood actor has taken that to heart. Ryan Reynolds, you know him, Deadpool. He is now the part owner and pitch man for a low-cost mobile carrier, Mint Mobile.
Of course.
The California-based company did not disclose the size of Reynolds' investment, but he is, I believe, the majority owner. He now owns a mobile phone company.
Hey, that's where the money's at, telecommunications.
Yeah. diversify your portfolio, stocks and bonds. There you go. All right, next thing here. Coming off her Charlie's Angels mega bomb that she blamed on men not wanting female action heroes, Elizabeth Banks is set to direct and star in Invisible Woman for Universal.
Oh, no. What happened? Were they making Invisible Man?
The plot details are being kept under wraps, but sources say Banks' pitch is very different from the Invisible Man coming out in February that will star Elizabeth Moss. There is no crossover potential on either film. So this is a completely different, doesn't connect to anything.
Oh, I bet she like kills men or something.
Who in the blue hell would give this woman a green light after that Charlie's Angels thing? I have no idea.
I want to be a woman in Hollywood.
Can I be Harvey Weinstein?
Yes. Oh my.
Hey, baby. Yeah. All right. It looks like Warner Brothers is going to have the Birds of Prey Harley Quinn movie and Suicide Squad both be rated R. Guess Joker making $1 billion woke him up to that, but I still ain't gonna watch either one of them. Won't even download them.
I haven't even seen the first whatchamacallit. What is that? Suicide Squad.
I think I've seen bits and pieces.
I haven't watched it
all the way through. Yeah.
I can't get over what's his name being Deadshot.
Oh, Will Smith. Yeah. Guy said we need to cleanse conservatives.
Yeah.
He's still part of the boycott, so.
I still can't see him as Deadshot. I just don't get it, man. They're like, oh, he made a good Deadshot. I'm like, no, he didn't. He Will Smith that role.
Deadshot's white.
Yeah, he Will Smith that. Every Will Smith movie, he's Will Smith. And that's exactly what it was. It wasn't Deadshot, it was Will Smith.
He has a gun and he yells.
Yeah.
So it's Will Smith. Yeah. Vince, you sent me this one about the upcoming D&D movie. Feature at least one character with ties to the Forgotten Realms. We'll focus on a quest for an iconic magical object. The upcoming Dungeons & Dragons movie, currently in development by Paramount, will focus on a group of adventurers looking for the Eye of Vecna, a powerful artifact that dates back to the earliest days of the game. Vecna was a powerful lich turned god whose hand and eye, remnants from when Vecna was a mortal, grant unspeakable power. Both the hand and the eye of Vecna come at a terrible cost. In order to use either artifact, the user must remove their existing eye or hand and replace it with the artifact. Paramount looking for a male actor to voice the dragon. I'm going to try to pronounce this. You probably know this one better than me. Parlandusk? Parlandusk?
Maybe.
Sounds right. Dragon that lives in Forgotten Realms. Dragon hasn't played any major roles in D&D adventures, but the dragon was named in several D&D source books as a protector of the village Lithumbrel, who concealed his true identity as a gold dragon. While the dragon's involvement in the D&D movie indicates the movie will take place in Forgotten Realms, source indicates that the dragon will act as an ancient leader of a group of triadic knights. Triadic knights in D&D lore, followers of the gods Illmater, Torm, and Tyr. D&D will feature a group of adventurers led by Raven Hightower, warrior with a magic flame sword that's haunted by his sister's death, because all D&D characters must have a tragic backstory.
Sure.
Other characters include the half-dragon, Hack Cowerway, the gnome thief, Olaven Trickfoot, and a masked warrior named Alyssa Steelsong, who is set to take over the dragon's role when the dragon dies. Additionally, the main villain of the movie is a male drow named Razor Holbar. Who once kept Raven and his sister as slaves. What, you know, the bad guy's a drow?
No, that they're going to use that guy and not Drake. Yeah.
I think this is just an opening movie. I think if this hits, they're going to definitely sequel. Let's see. Along with a male tiefling named Domala, a brutish warrior known only as the Beast, using the Eye of Vecna could serve as a precursor to D&D, introducing the Lich God, or even a greater threat, or even a way to introduce other D&D characters, notably actor Joe Manganiello's Archon the Cruel, who in the game currently holds the Hand of Vecna, and established in the recently released Adventures Baldur's Gate Descent into Arvanus, so it's a legit in-canon character. So, That's hilarious. Critical Role, the Critical Role's first campaign was about Vecna, so it seems to be much more. The movie's going to incorporate lore from the source material, which is why the 2000 movie sucked ass, because it didn't do that.
Yeah, none at all. And I remember seeing that in the theater, thinking, like, the thief was dying or whatever. I'm like, you can't use, like, a scroll of resurrection on the guy? Like, you're a cleric.
Yeah. Come on. Go with the source material. What have we always said on the show?
Make him quaff a fucking restoration goddamn bottle and then go from there.
Yeah. So it sounds like the D&D thing. If this hits, it's going to be good. So. All right. Go to comic book news this week. Really, the only thing for comic book news was this whole DC China thing. DC Comics teased Frank Miller's upcoming The Dark Knight Returns, The Golden Child on social media. The sequel coming, releasing in December with using artwork by Raphael Grandpa. Only to remove the promo post shortly afterwards following backlash from readers in China. And the issue revolves around a variant cover used in the post, which depicts Carrie Kelly as Batwoman hurling a Molotov cocktail against a backdrop that includes the text, "The future is young." Those opposing the artwork claim that it implies DC Comics support for the Hong Kong protesters, largely owing to Batwoman's outfit and her pose and the resemblance to the general aesthetic of the Hong Kong protesters. Unsettled readers took to the Chinese social media site Weibo to voice their complaints. One user wrote, "The black clothes represent Hong Kong. The mask represents Hong Kong. The Molotov cocktails represent Hong Kong. What else here doesn't represent Hong Kong?" The response allegedly compelled DC to delete the post, which in turn sparked backlash from protest supporters. It especially came from fans in the United States who criticized the publisher for being yet another large-scale company to acquiesce to the will of Chinese audiences and government.
Oh, well.
Yep.
I don't care.
Disney did it. Now DC's doing it.
How much money do they make over there, though? That's a thing.
I don't know. Yeah. And you can't get clear numbers because everything comes through the government.
Right.
So. All right. Your comic book recommendations for this week. Red Hood Outlaw number 40. Yeah, 40. Punisher Kill Crew number 5 of 5. That wraps up that miniseries. The Crow, Hark the Herald. This is a one-shot. The Crow and Christmas Time. Because, you know, nothing goes together like that does.
Jesus.
Tales from the Dark Multiverse Infinite Crisis number 1. The Terrifics 22, Vince.
Yeah, I have it.
Punisher 2099 number 1. Where Punisher becomes a member of the Nova Corps. Or no, sorry, that's Conan 2099. Conan becomes a Nova Corps member. Yeah. Don't try to figure that out. Let's see. Transformers Galaxies and X-Force. So there you go. Those were your books that came out this week. All right. Go to wrestling news real quick here. Over the past month, there has been a duel over old wrestling trademarks with the Wednesday Night Wars heating up. Cody Rhodes recently trademarked the names of former WCW pay-per-views Bash at the Beach, Super Brawl, and Slamboree. All Elite Wrestling then announced AEW Bash at the Beach would be held over 2 weeks from the 15th January 2020. WWE has seemingly responded, applying two trademarks for old ECW shows. They have put in for the trademarks for Cyber Slam and Barely Legal. Barely Legal was ECW's first pay-per-view they ever held, so... speaking of trademarks, WWE star Luke Harper has applied to trademark his old independent name, Brody Lee. So when he gets out of his WWE deal, he can go back to being Brody Lee. All right, last thing here. Kenny Omega, John Moxley match at Full Gear divided wrestling fans. Some considered it to be a hardcore classic that they haven't seen on TV in years, while others believe it was unnecessary levels of violence. Apparently, it's come out that All Elite Wrestling is currently being investigated by the Maryland State Athletic Commission because of the match. The commission does prohibit wrestlers from deliberately cutting themselves or their opponents. While a commission certified doctor was provided for the event, they are still carrying out a full investigation because of the level of violence during the match. Former WCW announcer Chris Cruz, who's a snitch, contacted the Maryland State Athletic Commission regarding the match. He asked the commission rules on blading and allowing matches to continue if a performer is bleeding, either intentionally or unintentionally, and if there was a commission doctor at the show. After repeated requests, he was told that the commission prohibits wrestlers from deliberately cutting themselves or their opponents, none of which happened in the match. The commission noted that they were at the match. There was a doctor there. But they also stated that they were conducting a formal investigation into the match, and thus, since the investigation is ongoing, they couldn't comment any further. No idea what they actually would be investigating, but it could probably have, if they try to come out with some new type of rule, it could affect wrestling shows in Maryland for a long time. So,
all of that. Awesome. So,
meh. Don't go to Maryland. All right, we'll go to sports. That was it for wrestling. We'll go to sports this week. Another actor taking that Wu-Tang advice, Vince. Modern Family actor Eric Stonestreet, the big gay guy.
Oh, yeah.
On the show.
Oh, yeah?
The one that's actually straight, but he plays gay. He's now part owner of the Kansas City Royals baseball team. He joined local businessmen, including controlling owner John Sherman, in the ownership group. He grew up in Kansas City, big fan. He even has his character on the show as a big fan. So he said, it's no secret how passionate I am about Kansas City, along with Kansas City sports and Major League Baseball. When this opportunity arose to invest in the Royals, I could not think of a more exciting or fitting way to combine my passion with my love for the great people of my hometown. I look forward to being part of a group working to bring championship baseball to Kansas City once again. So there you go.
I'm surprised that guy's straight.
Yeah. He's a good actor.
A wonderful actor.
Apparently, yeah. The wacky season of college basketball that already had Kentucky lose at home while ranked number one to unranked Evansville Purple Aces. Now, the number one curse has continued. Duke, ranked number one, lost to unranked Stephen F. Austin at home on a buzzer beater layup in overtime.
Steve Austin?
Yes. Stephen F. Austin. It was a stunner. I'll see myself out. Thank you.
That was awful.
Hey, they're jokes. They're not all good. Oh. But they're jokes. All right. The Egg Bowl, which is Mississippi versus Mississippi State, big rivalry game. Luke Morgan missed a 35-yard extra point after Mississippi receiver Elijah Moore was penalized for a celebration after a touchdown, where he pretended to piss like a dog by hiking his leg. This was a 15-yard penalty, moved the extra point back, and the kicker missed it, giving Mississippi State the win 21-20.
That's hilarious.
Man, if I was the coach, that... There'd be a roster spot and a missing player.
Can you do that? Up. Can you do that?
I don't know. Legally, I don't know. Well, yeah, you can get booted from a team for any reason. So, yeah, you could. All right, next thing here. Seemingly trying to avoid a distraction, the Steelers. Quarterback Devlin Hodges. Hodges, I'm trying to pronounce that name. Reportedly has started deleting his pro-Trump tweets after he was named his team's starting quarterback. While Hodges may have been ecstatic about getting a start, he quickly became the target of social media who referenced his past tweets, mostly about President Trump. The Sanford product was caught deleting tweets about Trump, but the internet never forgets. One of the tweets he deleted that really apparently made people mad said the words Donald Trump, and then a thumbs up emoji and an American flag emoji.
Yeah, I hate when that happens when people like this country.
That's just terrible.
I know.
And then another one he deleted said, wanting Donald Trump to fail is like wanting the pilot to crash the plane that we are all on.
That's not wrong.
That's not wrong. But, you know, Trump, get rid of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, he likes the president. Right. That's awful.
Yeah. One day after NFL fans stuffed themselves with football in Turkey, the league has suspended one of its own for trying to stuff his pockets with cash. Arizona Cardinals defensive back Josh Shaw has been suspended through the conclusion of the season for betting on NFL games.
Oh, the old Pete Rose, huh?
The league says continued success of the NFL depends directly on each of us doing everything necessary to safeguard the integrity of the game. Coming from Goodell, that's a hilarious statement. At the core of this responsibility is a longstanding principle that betting on NFL games or on any element of the game puts the integrity of the game at risk and damages public confidence. So this Shaw is currently on injured reserve. The league says an investigation concluded that there was no evidence he used inside information or that any games were compromised, but he did, in fact, was betting on games, which is a no-no. So he's gone. So, yeah, he pulled the old Pete Rose there on him.
That's awesome. I love when that happens.
Now we just need to get Kane to choke slam him and tombstone him.
Well, sure.
Good times. This next story here was a little frightening. A woman has been charged with attempted murder and the stabbing of NFL wide receiver Terrell Pryor at his Pittsburgh apartment early yesterday morning. Pryor, 30, was reportedly at his Hines Loft apartments when he was stabbed in the shoulder and chest. Prosecutors and police say 24-year-old Shalaya Briston was charged with attempted homicide and aggravated assault, while Pryor faces a charge of simple assault. Although initially said to be in critical condition, sources now say that he is unstable. So, stabbed in the chest. Vince, I think we now officially have your favorite baseball player of all time.
Ty Cobb?
And it's not Pete Rose.
Oh.
It's not Ty Cobb. This week, former MLB baseball player and star Aubrey Huff triggered outrage on social media after he tweeted a picture from a gun range, adding that he was training his sons to shoot in the unlikely event Bernie Sanders beats Donald Trump in 2020. In which case, knowing how to effectively use a gun under socialism will be a must.
No shit.
That elicited hostile responses from Kathy Griffin, Tom Arnold, and others, who received blunt responses from Huff. Huff, whose father was murdered as he tried to break up a fight between a man and his girlfriend. In 2009, he said, my dad was an electrician on call in Abilene. Told he came in and heard a racket. He walked over to people, said there is a problem. The man arguing with his girlfriend said it's none of your business. Then he shot my dad and then his girlfriend. Serving life in prison, my mom told me, my sister, that her whole life was going to revolve around us. She did everything for she could to keep me out of trouble. Mom bought me a batting cage. That's what got him on the baseball path. After one Twitter user commented, Child Protective Services should be notified about his taking his kids to a gun range, Huff responded, this is the world we live in today. Teaching your kids how to safely handle and shoot a gun at a legal gun range is now grounds for having your children taken away from you. Then came Kathy Griffin.
Now here it comes.
Offense to his tweet, tweeting back, this dumb fuck right here. Which prompted Huff to reference Griffin's infamous pose with the severed Trump head, writing, my boys were shooting a fake paper target as I was teaching them safe gun practices. Yet here's a picture of you holding a fake head of Donald Trump murdered by your hand with a knife. How'd that work out for your career? The hypocrisy is strong with this one. Hashtag moron. Tom Arnold chimed in saying Kathy Griffin just handed Aubrey Huff his ass, to which Aubrey Huff slammed back. She's not going to bang you, Tom. If I were you, I'd focus on that fourth wife before you lose the rest of your money on alimony payments. Let's chat over coffee about failed marriages. Alimony for my one divorce sucks. I can't imagine being dumb enough to do it four times. Then on Wednesday, Huff tweeted out, for all of you that reported me to the FBI and Twitter, I'm happy to report I flew today and got to my destination with zero security problems. Also have hundreds of emails from Twitter saying that I that I violated zero of Twitter's posting rules. Thank you all for your concern. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no shit. Fuck off.
They literally called the FBI on his ass. Yeah. How about another alimony payment there, Tom?
That's funny.
That is funny.
That's you could keep sports. Roseanne Barr.
Yes, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
You got anything for video game news this week,
Vince? The only thing I really have for video game news, and it happened Friday, was the ridiculous amount of deals going on. Video games were like nothing. There was stuff for the PS4. Amazon Fire Stick TV was $25. Let me see. There was a laptop that was only $600, and it was like the Asus ROG Strix Scar 2 or whatever.
The hell did you just say?
That's what it just said. The Switch was $335. No, that's going to be $335 on Cyber Monday. So yeah, tomorrow you can buy a Switch for $335. Okay, but $300 on Black Friday for one. There were board games for sale right now. Gloomhaven on Amazon is $314, and it's usually $140.
Wow.
It's $114, and usually it's $140. So on Black Friday, it was $86.50.
Nice, but Cyber Monday is going to be a big deal for...
Right, Cyber Monday is going to be huge. Xbox One. Let's see. This one says Amazon new Cyber Monday deals every day. Walmart PS4 Pro is $299. The Sega Genesis Mini's $45. Best Buy Doorbuster deals updated daily. Newegg, save up to 50% on Samsung QLED 4K TVs. Dell, save up to 35% on Alienware. Jet.com, cheap PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo game deals. And then B&H Photo has some laptop deals and hard drive deals. So it's really where you just go find stuff. Amazon's going to be stupid.
Yeah. There's a Steam sale going on too, isn't there?
I don't know about that, but yeah, I could probably see that.
Yeah. I imagine they'll have something for Cyber Monday. So.
Sure.
Yeah, you want your games, now's time to get them.
Yep. But that's about it.
That's about it. Well, the only thing I have for music news is I guess the AMAs were this week.
They were? Didn't I text you or something?
Yeah, you texted me going, hey, the AMAs are on. I'm like...
Huh? I had no idea either. It was Sunday. It was Sunday night, wasn't it? Because I was flipping through the channels, and it was on. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. The annual ceremony shifted back to its November telecast on ABC as opposed to last year's early October airing. That didn't help at all. Even Taylor Swift's record-breaking wins and the return of Shania Twain couldn't help the ceremony hit a new low, 1.7 rating. Garnered 6.73 million viewers, matching last year's all-time record low viewership.
They had Green Day on there playing Basket Case. They had, think about that, they had to pull a band from the 90s, and not you the mean, greatest band in the 90s, to play an old song.
You mean rock and roll possible Hall of Famers Green Day?
Who said... I forget in the 90s, somebody was talking about Green Day. They said they're not a punk band. They're a fucking pop band. And it was like.
Oh, good Lord. That could have been anybody.
It was like Fat Mike
they're not
somebody. An actual coming punk from guy.
Fat Mike, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Considering I think he's a woman now.
Well, yeah, I think he is too, but.
Yeah. Yeah, no. All right. That was it for music. That's. Yeah. So. All right. We're going to take a break. One might show up. One might not show up.
Fuck it.
Time for Song of the Week. And when we come back from break, it will be time for our top 10 list YouTube channels.
We'll be right back. What's up, everybody? This is Handsome Dan Lopez, the smartest man not in professional wrestling, and I am the host of Handsome Dan's Final Say, the show that is guaranteed to raise your wrestling IQ. We premiere new episodes on Tuesdays on WLWstudios.com, as well as the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. When will the next episode debut? Stay tuned to my Twitter feed at Dan's Final Say or the Facebook page, facebook.com/Dan's Final Say, to make sure that you don't miss a single episode. Raise your wrestling IQ.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on RantEMRadio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, RantEMRadio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
And we are back.
Woot woot.
Time for our top 10 list this week. YouTube channels. Ironic, since I just deleted ours.
Feels good, though. Long time coming.
Yeah. I don't worry about copyrights. So.
Well, that, and they lied.
Yes, horribly. If you don't know what we're talking about, I put a thing about the upcoming COPPA thing. It's the FTC and YouTube are just bitches.
And I think we're more upset about YouTube bucking us rather than...
That's pretty much what it is. Because the wording of the law actually has an out for channels, but YouTube didn't do it. So there you go. But these are channels that we do enjoy. So time for our top 10. Vince, you're number 10, sir.
I want to preface this list by my son helped me with this.
So it's all kid shit.
It's all kid shit, yeah. My number 10 is Puffin Forest.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
It's a game channel.
Ah. Okay. My number 10, BDWJ 1989.
Oh my.
This is a wrestling countdown. It's the it's the channel with the moves that say made you say holy shit and a bunch of top 10 moves and stuff like that. Good channel, good compilations, always puts out good stuff, so. All right, number 9.
PewDiePie. PewDiePie.
Remember, kids, Subscribe to PewDiePie.
Subscribe to PewDiePie.
Yeesh. My number nine, Dust. Dust puts out sci-fi movies that they make.
Ah.
Really good short sci-fi movies. So Dust is a really good channel. So all right, number eight.
My number eight, pause, unpause. He does Minecraft.
you know, Minecraft. Things for Minecraft.
Right.
Wink. All right. My number eight, completely on the opposite ending of everything there. Primitive Technology.
Oh, I love that channel.
The man doing bushcrafty stuff.
He wrote a book, by the way.
Yes, I know. It's on my Christmas list. So, yeah, fantastic channel. He never talks.
Yeah, you have to turn on closed captioning. Things.
Yeah. All right, number seven.
My number seven is Mr. Beast. Just smile and nod.
Smile and nod, okay. My number seven, Bjorn Andreas Bull Hansen. He is a writer who does Norse bushcrafting.
Nice. So.
I like that channel. All right, number six.
My number six is The King of Random before he died. Yeah. I like that channel.
That's a good channel. I like that one. My number six, Comics Explained. If you have, he does storyline reviews, he does character reviews, explanations of characters, their powers. All types of stuff. Really good comic book channel is Comics Explained.
So. Right.
Number five.
My number five is Venturian. I like those guys. They've been doing Minecraft gaming forever. It's a good channel.
Okay. My number five, Patriot Nurse.
Nice. Oh, I know where you're going with this.
I want to.
I think I know where you're going. Your number one's going to be.
It's going to surprise you.
Okay.
My number one will surprise you, I think. Number four.
Markiplier.
I've seen some of his stuff.
I like Markiplier.
Yeah. My number four, The Repentant Yankee. Got into this channel because he was doing reading and discussion of the Federalist Papers.
Nice.
So, really good channel. I like that one a lot. All right, number three.
My number three is Jacksepticeye. Top of the morning to you, laddies.
The hell did you call me?
I like Jacksepticeye.
Did you just yell at me in Irish?
I did.
Okay.
It's broken, but...
Yeah. My number three, the Rageaholic, Razor Fist.
Higher on the list.
All right, number two.
Yogg's Cast.
All right, my number two, Bear Independent. This is a prepper, what the hell's going on in the world type of channel. So,
right,
really like that one. Number one, Vince.
All right, my number one, and I got it. It's okay. My daughter is standing over my shoulder. She thought it was favorite videos. Okay, and her,
yeah.
Mr. Crinkle from Primus. That's her number one because she loves that video. She loves the piggy man. But yes. My number one is Razor Fist.
Yep. He's usually dead on shit.
Oh, yeah.
My number one is a channel that you turned me on to, sir.
Oh, shit.
Hello, I'm your host, The Craftsman.
Crap, I forgot about The Craftsman.
It is the best, just chill out, watch this guy make things. He's Bob Ross for he's the new generation Bob Ross.
He's a puppet. The character is a puppet named The Craftsman.
The Craftsman. There is no T. It's C-R-A-F-S-M-A-N.
Yeah, he's a puppet.
There is no T.
And he makes all sorts of shit.
He's really going hard on the action figures now, casting and making his own.
Yeah, he's very cool.
Which I believe he's going to start selling.
Somebody said that he was actually Mitch Hedberg.
Sadly, Mitch is no longer with us, but I could see that.
Yeah,
I love Craftsman. Yeah.
Yeah, Craftsman is awesome. That's,
love that channel. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
So, all right, your listener picks. That was our top 10. Now for the ones you like. Elizabeth came in with Exploring with Josh. And a lot of these I have never heard of, which is good that we, you know, maybe learn new channels and check out what each other likes. So she says Exploring with Josh. Brad comes in with Mini War Gaming and Guerrilla Miniatures. Tony comes in with one of my favorites, but did not make my list, Lockpicking Lawyer. Wang, 8-Bit Guy, Cinemassacre.
Yeah. I love 8-Bit Guy.
Yeah, Cinemassacre, Electro Boom, MLW, Fail Army, Botchamania, God Love Matthew, Wrestling with Regret, Rage Quit, when it used to exist under Rooster Teeth, Editing King.
Yeah.
MMA and boxing knockout videos. So those are Tony's picks. Aaron came in with Dr. Pimple Popper and the Trailer Park Network, Demi and Dave's Ninja School, Diamond Dave's Ninja School. Roboto comes in with StixFan93. Said I haven't had to use my CDs ever since finding the channel. 12 Medby, American version of Who's Line with Drew Carey. Gaming Historian and the Sonic Team for Hire, or Sonic for Hire Team. Sorry, my dyslexia is kicking in again. And World of Nintendo. That's Roboto's. Chris comes in with Stefan Molyneux, Free Domain Radio, Raka Raka, Louder with Crowder, Rageaholic, Red Letter Media, Brad Neely, Freedom Tunes, and Our Old Channel. That's no longer on your list. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, I put the list up late because turkey coma this week. I dummied it, but thank you for putting in your suggestions, dear listeners. Vince loves you.
I do? Oh, that's right. Yeah, I do.
Good cover.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's go to FMKs this week. I believe they're all from Chris.
Oh, shit.
And my computer froze. Give me just a minute.
Well, at least they're not from Lopez. These are hard.
Yeah. All right. All the FMKs are from Chris, and they're basically all Vince's dilemmas.
God damn it.
All right. Lana from Archer, Sasha from WWE, and Stacy Dash in 1995.
Oh, damn. Lana's got to go because she's a cartoon.
Okay.
I'm going to marry...
Marry Dash.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
Yep.
Five-Head gets painted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's... All right. His next one here. This is going to be a hard one for Vince. Pam Grier and Jackie Brown. Pam Grier and Foxy Brown. Or Pam Grier dressed as a clown.
Okay, the clown's got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll marry Foxy Brown. No. Jackie Brown and then nail Foxy. How's that?
Yep. That's, okay. There you go.
Will that work?
All right. His next one. Sassy AOC. Smart AOC with her glasses.
Uh-huh.
Or Passionate AOC, where she's fake crying at a chain link fence while looking at an empty parking lot.
I'm going to nail that one.
Of course you would. Of course you would. What the camera didn't show you is that 4 feet away was the end of the fence, and she could have just walked around and went into the parking lot.
Shh.
I know.
Perception.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. All right, so you're doing that one.
Yeah, and I'll marry the
you.
The glasses one.
Marry the glasses one.
Yeah.
Kill the sassy one. Yeah. Right. All right. Vince's Dilemma, the final chapter. Rashida Tlaib.
Oh, God.
In the scene where she's born out of the Isengard spawning pit. That's good shit right there. I don't care. Rashida Tlaib fighting Aragorn. or Rashida Tlaib when meat's back on the menu, boys?
The breeding pit one's got to go.
Yes.
How about I marry the Aragorn one?
And you bang meat's back on the menu.
Yeah, meat's back on the menu.
Yeah.
Of course, she's going to be broke here pretty soon, so.
Yeah, that story's coming up, sir.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Vince's dilemma, no franchise ever ends anymore. Choices have equal money, so we can't marry for money. Frederica Wilson. Barricade Brow McGee. Or AOC.
We can't marry for money?
Yeah, apparently they took our woman privilege away.
Fuck. Hold on.
Duck, duck, go. Duck, duck, go.
I don't even do that.
I don't use Google.
I don't know. Pick one.
Well, this is hard. To me, AOC's got to go.
No.
Useless toe rag. Just, I don't know the other ones, so.
Get rid of Barricade Brown.
Okay. Marry Frederica and you can have fun with AOC.
Yeah. That sounds about right, right?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay.
All right, let's go to listener questions this week. Roboto would like to know.
No.
If the world ran on video game logic, what's the first five things you would try to do?
Eat a mushroom.
That was exactly what I thought of.
I'd eat a mushroom, try to find a flower, put on a raccoon suit.
And touch a star, baby.
And touch a star, yeah. I mean, I could travel through pipes.
Or you
jump in the bathtub.
Skin a raccoon and wear its body
That sounds about right.
That sounds really morbid. What the hell's wrong with Mario?
God. That's kind of weird. Well, he's Italian, so.
Yeah. All right. Chris would like to know, now, after the Democrats media have spent 3 years trying to get Trump on something, after all the stories, theories about his health, Russian hookers peeing on him, fake dossiers, hoax after hoax, now they've gone through impeachment hearings with nothing burger Adam Schiff literally fighting back tears at the end, then suddenly realize that if they begin impeachment proceedings, the Republicans will be able to call whomever they want to testify under oath. Now they're backing off of impeachment as the question here is, the American establishment left looks as ridiculous as what? And his example is a monkey fucking a clown shoe. So it's the what. You're going for the punchline here. The left looks as ridiculous as...
The Last Jedi.
Jeez. Wow. I was going to go with Sasha Banks' forehead.
That's cold.
Yeah. It's either one of those is...
They don't like have really anything. Bad.
No.
Since I've left Facebook, don't. my calm has, like, came back. And... I haven't been keeping up on news because a lot of people, you know, said, okay, here's what's going on with the impeachment. And yeah, apparently somebody said they don't have shit.
They don't. They have nothing.
They want it to go to the Senate, though, so they can call everybody. I didn't realize they wanted to back off of it now since, shit.
Democrats are like, oh, no sir. we might censure him. Yeah, that'll do it. No, it's...
Yeah, I didn't realize they wanted to back off of it now since they have to go to the Senate to do the trial.
Yeah.
God, that's funny.
Yeah, so the establishment left looks as ridiculous as Vince says The Last Jedi. I say Sasha Banks' five head. So.
No, the Christmas episode. The Star Wars Christmas episode.
Oh, the holiday special.
Holy crap.
The thing that should never be named. Yes. Oh, Manos, hand the fate. Yeah.
That's bad, isn't it?
All right. Last question this week comes from Elizabeth. If you had $7,000 lying around your house, would you buy this? And she sent a link, and the link is to the Bray Wyatt the Fiend Custom Championship Belt, which is selling for $6,500 and does come from Tom Savini's workshop.
It's cool that it's Tom Savini.
Yes.
But there's absolutely no fucking way I'd spend that much money on a belt.
No. I'm lucky if I spend 20 on one to hold up my pants. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. The Tom Savini thing. Yeah, that's cool. But no.
That does make it very cool. But no.
No, I want that full size fucking Sentinel.
Dude, that or the D&D cartoon statues?
Yeah.
That I showed you?
Yeah, yeah, I want those too.
If I had seven grand laying around the house just to spend on whatever I want, I would be getting in contact with a little company called Barrett.
Yeah.
You can figure that out if you look them up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reach out and touch somebody statement. All right, let's go to Did You See This? Holy Christ, there's a lot this week. You people sent in some shit. A group of students from a history class at a private secondary school in Argentina called, I wish Juan was here because he could pronounce this, Escuela Modelo de San Juan.
Modelo? Hey, that yeah. beer?
Yep. Teachers gave these students' project a 9 out of 10. What was the project, you ask? A video parodying Aqua's Barbie Girl. The students were dressed in Nazi outfits and singing the lyrics, I'm a Nazi girl in a Nazi world. Come on, Jews, let's go to camps. In another scene, a girl dressed in black wearing a swastika armband opens a kitchen oven while singing, you must behave or you're going to die. Yeah, teachers were fired. But it's weird that this happened in Argentina.
I just made the connection. That's funny.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah. They were all white, too, weren't they?
Considering there's whole towns in Argentina that speak German?
Yeah. Like you do.
All right. Like you do. Killed in a bunker, my ass. All right. Next thing was sent in the Department of Justice. Published an open letter Thursday evening asking Facebook to alter its plan to encrypt Facebook's messaging service, WhatsApp and Instagram. In a move the company announced in March, Attorney General William Barr, Acting Homeland Security Kevin McGallion, along with two top law enforcement officials from Australia and the UK, are urging Facebook to ensure that law enforcement agents have access to conversations when authorized by a judge. In short, the officials are asking for a digital equivalent of a wiretap, or what the DOJ officials often refer to as, quote, lawful access.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that should scare the shit out of you.
They still want Telegram, right?
Yeah, but even that's been...
Compromised.
All right. Next thing that was sent in, Vince alluded to it earlier, in less than 1 year, 3/4 of the so-called squad, congressional women with AOC in that group, 3 out of 4 are under financial investigation. 3 out of 4 members of the squad are facing ethics and campaign finance violations in just less than just 1 year in office. Start with AOC, who actually faces prison time if convicted. She owes her election in part to the Justice Democrats PAC, and there is normally nothing wrong with that as long as there's no coordination between the campaign and the Political Action Committee. But therein is the problem. Justice Democrats PAC has three board members who vote on where to send the money or the assistance to what candidate, right?
Right.
Such as campaign volunteers, etc. AOC and her former campaign chair, I can't say that name, it's an Indian name, and there's way too many A's and I's. They were appointed to hold 2 of the 3 seats. Who do you think got the money from the PAC?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how bad it was.
Yep. And for this, she never notified the Federal Elections Commission on her involvement in the PAC, and that's a serious violation.
You know nothing. There's nothing going to happen to her.
I know, but if prosecutors deem her actions were done on purpose, she would face criminal charges. So it could be in prison, but like you said, nothing will happen to her. Next on the list is Ilhan Omar. who's accused of using campaign funds to enrich her boyfriend's company, and that she used campaign funds to reimburse him for traveling the country with her.
Sure.
She has paid his company about $370,000.
Oh, is that all?
So far. And we're still a year out from the election. She is also accused of being an agent for the country of Qatar. That's in federal court right now. Yeah. Then you got Rashida Tlaib, who illegally paid herself $17,500 from her campaign funds after the 2018 election. Election law allows you to pay yourself a salary during the campaign, but once the campaign ends, all money must stop. In her case, it didn't. She requested checks for $2,000 and then $15,500 after the election and received them.
How are they still there?
Good question.
That's why I don't understand.
How's Nancy Pelosi a multimillionaire off a congressional salary? How does Bernie Sanders own three mansions?
Yeah, I just don't get it.
Yeah, there's a lot there. Vince, we were speaking to your girl AOC. Let's see. Promise to boost federal funding for social programs should not be considered, quote, free stuff, because she now considers them public goods.
Oh, yeah?
She said in a Monday tweet. Yeah. AOC, who earlier in the day led a Green New Deal town hall about public housing in the Bronx, said she's tired of being accused of essentially bribing voters with financial handouts, saying public education, libraries, and infrastructure policies are not free stuff, she tweeted. My roads, yeah. People like to say, oh, this is about free stuff. It's not about free stuff. I never want to hear the word or term free stuff ever again. Somebody's paying for it. Who's paying for it?
Yeah, no shit. Taxpayers are paying for it.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't take civics.
They didn't. Well, they might have, but it's what they teach in public schools now, so it's not real. All right. The next thing here, fucking Red Cross. Local Red Cross, good. National, bad. International, worse. Reading about fraud is always upsetting, but reading about charity fraud is downright frustrating. When the already impoverished nation of Haiti was struck by the earthquake in 2010, and a bunch of kids disappeared because of the Clinton Foundation, people around the world opened their checkbooks to donate money to the reconstruction of the country. Among the recipients of those generous donations was the Red Cross, who pledged to help the people of Haiti get back on their feet with the millions of dollars given to them. Yet 5 years after launching the project, meant to build hundreds of homes in Port-au-Prince, guess how many they've built?
Two.
Six.
Holy God.
Forcing citizens to continue dwelling in shacks without water, electricity, or basic sanitation and regular flooding. In short, the Red Cross has delivered far less than it promised, and it's not just to its donors, but the people it claimed it was there to help. We're going to build you hundreds of homes. Here's six in 10 years.
Yeah, but they can't even drill for water, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. Just.
I mean, they can't even build up their own infrastructure and then keep it when they got it.
Yeah.
So.
If you're going to donate, just donate local. Do local charities. Your local Red Cross is good. National's bad. International's the shits. All right. Next thing I was sent in. Twitter on, let's see, this would have been on Monday, suspended conservative gay journalist for hate speech. For stating without rancor that trans murder rates are low. Andy Ngo committed the, quote, hateful conduct in response to a tweet by Chelsea Clinton. Her tweet said, since 2013, more than 150 trans people have been murdered in the U.S., the majority black transgender women, which she called an epidemic of violence and hate. Not so fast, Andy Ngo said, noting that 150 deaths over several years in a nation of more than 300 million people is hardly an epidemic. The U.S. is one of the safest countries for trans people. The murder rate of trans victims is actually lower than that for the cis population, he wrote on Twitter. He also noted that liberals are being silent about one important detail, Who was behind the murders? Mostly black men.
Yeah, don't throw
Twitter
out.
Twitter immediately suspended him.
Yeah, well, can't have facts.
Yeah, for actual data backed facts.
Awesome. Yeah. He's just a racist.
Yeah, gay Asian conservative. Yeah.
Is he gay?
Speaking of, yeah, I think. Pretty sure. All right, Black Friday. Facebook upped their attacks on conservatives and blocked photos of the First Lady. A picture of the First Lady had the words, "You can keep your Lady Gaga, we have Lady MAGA." Facebook deemed the picture hate speech and removed it.
That's how I do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. I just don't get that.
So if I was to put up a picture of Michelle Obama and then put the Jake from State Farm quote, "Well, she's a guy," would that be hate speech?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. Well, there is no such thing as hate speech. So, all right. Hey, you remember when the Amazon was losing their, was on fire and everybody was losing their mind? Like, the world's lungs are on fire and burning. Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Everybody was losing their mind and. Oh, I had to get a drink there. Well,
yeah, I do remember that.
Arrests were made this week.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying I do remember that, and then I was scolded today when you said that it was fake.
Yes, arrests were made this week of four fire brigade members for setting the fires.
Oh, lovely.
The four fire brigade members had set up a deal with the World Wildlife Foundation to sell 40 pictures of the fires for $70,000. Which the WWF then used to fundraise off of. Leonardo DiCaprio donated $500,000 to the fund that the WWF raised, and $300,000 of that money went to the fire brigade members that set the fires.
So it was all a marketing ploy?
Yep. World Wildlife Fund wanted to fundraise. What better way to fundraise than to start a fire in Amazon?
So are they going to get defunded and...
Oh, no, of course not. But yeah, that's what really happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They set the fire to make money.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yep. Oh, Vince, guess who's running for president?
Me.
I wish. You'd get my vote.
Shit, I don't have the money to join. I don't have the money to do it.
Well, that's where the story comes in. Former New York mayor and gun grabber extraordinaire Michael Bloomberg has announced he's running for the Democratic nomination for president. Then he came out in a speech and he used this line. "When we raise taxes on the poor, it's good because then the poor will live longer because they can't afford as many things that kill them."
Wow. Oy vey.
That's the same guy that said, if you want to have a gun in your house, I think you're stupid. Same guy. He wants to be the president now.
I love him.
And there's probably a damn good chance that he'll buy the Democratic nomination. And it'll be rich white guy versus rich white guy.
Hey, he's a Jew.
Yes, rich Jew versus rich white guy.
Yeah. And you know what the Democrats are going to pick?
Yep. Wow, that's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Yeah, but yeah, it's good to raise taxes on the poor.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's a direct quote.
That's your boy. Speaking you're going to vote for him, aren't you?
Yeah. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of running for office, just moving on before I say something really bad. We told you last week that Cenk from the Young Turks is running for Congress in California. Well, a video popped up this week about him, because once you start political, people really start digging into your backstory, right? Video came out in 2013 where he said bestiality should be legal in cases where people are, quote, pleasuring the animal. Video emerged on Twitter from the show The Young Turks, He's seen talking about bestiality in 2013. He said he would legalize certain kinds of bestiality if he were the benevolent dictator of the world.
Who says that shit?
Fucking chink. Or chank, that's fucked up. Or however you say it. He said, here comes the controversial part I shouldn't say. I believe if I were the benevolent dictator of the world, I would legalize bestiality when you are giving, you are pleasuring the animal. He mentioned an unknown case that was covered by their show where a person was pleasuring a horse. He noted the horse came to a conclusion. Numerous other videos of him have started making the rounds using inappropriate remarks about women. Another video from 2013, he discussed a rating system for women and explained what score a woman would have to be in his eye to suck your dick. He wants to be your congressman, California.
Yeah, he sounds disgusting.
Well, he's funded by Al Jazeera, who put the backing for the Young Turks financially, and he denies the Armenian genocide.
Lovely guy.
Yeah. Oh, now we got this thing about Maxine Waters. She may be mentally deficient of a...
Maybe.
Could be diagnosed variety. Last Sunday, she was on MSNBC's AM Joy, where she said that former neurosurgeon Ben Carson did not have the intelligence for his current position as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. This guy doesn't have the background, the capability, the intelligence to do the job. He does not know what he's doing. He doesn't care about this issue. You know, big dummy Ben Carson, the former neurosurgeon. The guy's so dumb that he led a neurosurgeon team of 70 members, separated conjoined twins that were joined at the back of the head. You know, he's too dumb to lead HUD. Yeah, that, of course it's Mad Maxine, so. As of course it always is. All right, next thing here. Progressives unleashed on ICE Wednesday over reports that the agency had arrested 90 foreign-born students who enrolled in a fake university. But someone forgot to tell them that the sting operation predates their favorite target, President Trump. Elizabeth Warren came out and said, this is cruel and appalling. Alyssa Milano came out of her cubbyhole there and seemingly shocked by the news. AOC and others reacted to news of the arrest by ICE by accusing ICE of entrapment and implying the tactic was new under Trump administration. Except it's not.
Oh, Obama did it.
Obama's administration not only founded the fake university, it engaged in a similar operation in New Jersey in 2016 before Trump was even in office.
Dude, that shit's hilarious.
But it was Trump. It's got to be Trump, right?
It's always Trump.
It was Obama. Like the guy that was putting kids in cages, that was Obama. Factually. Not hyperbole. All right. Hey, let's go to Europe this now, Vince. Chancellor Angela Merkel delivered an emotional speech to the German Bundestag this week, that's their Congress, on the need for limiting freedom of speech. Merkel, who's the current globalist leader on the international stage, argued that the government must take away freedom of speech to save freedom of speech, or something like that. Merkel said, for those who claim they can no longer express their opinion, I say this to them, if you express an pronounced opinion, you must live with the fact that you will be contradicted. Expressing an opinion does not come at zero cost, but freedom of expression has its limits. Those limits begin where hatred is spread. They begin where the dignity of other people is violated. This House will and must oppose extreme speech. Otherwise, our society will no longer be the free society that it was.
Sure.
Deutschland!
Ich bin ein Berliner, right?
Bitte nimm den Land Zürich.
That's awesome.
I got that right. My German is really rusty.
It is. That's hilarious.
Bitte nimm den Land Zürich. Yeah, that sounds right. So, yeah. Take away your freedom of speech so you can be free. Huh?
Work will set you free.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, now we got to talk about Virginia.
No.
I got to get a drink for this. Hold on a second. Vince, tell the kids something.
I'm a filibuster. I don't want to talk about... Is it West Virginia or is it regular Virginia?
It's regular Virginia.
Okay, it's not Diet Virginia?
No, we're going to... West Virginia has officially now been renamed Good Virginia. That's how bad this is.
Oh, God.
Or we can just call Virginia East California. That works too. Senate Bill 64, which states, 1, teaches or demonstrates to any person the use, application, or making of any firearm, explosive, or incendiary device or technique capable of causing injury or death to persons, knowing or having reason to know that or intending that such training will be employed for use in civil disorder. Or 2, assembles with one or more persons for the purpose of training with, practicing with, or being instructed in the use of any firearm, explosive, incendiary device, or technique capable of causing injury or death to persons intending to employ such training for use in civil disobedience. 3, assembles with one or more persons for the intent of intimidating any person or group by drilling, parading, or marching with any firearm, explosive, incendiary device, or any components or combination thereof. What this law means? It would instantly transform all martial arts instructors into felons. This includes kickboxing, boxing, jiu-jitsu, Krav Maga, everything. It would criminalize all firearms training classes, including concealed carry classes. It would criminalize a father teaching a son how to use a hunting rifle. Specifically, the law says that a person is guilty of unlawful paramilitary activity, a Class 5 felony, if that person assembles with one or more persons for training, practicing, or being instructed in the use of a firearm. The phrase technique capable of causing injury or death to a person covers all form of martial arts, self-defense. You know, if you're a woman and you take that, remember the old school guy in the big blue suit that was foam padded and you kick him in the nuts to fend off a rapist? Yeah, you can't do that anymore either. That would be considered paramilitary activity, even if the training consists of private classes involving just one instructor and one student. That's because every form of martial arts training imparts skills which could be used to cause injury to other persons. According to the language of the law, just one person learning such art is a felony, which means if you watch a DVD that would teach you something like that, that would be a felony. There's another law they're wanting to try to pass that would ban kids from hunting, youth hunting.
So the next Civil War is going to start in Virginia. Is that what you're saying?
It sure is. That's, I know a lot of counties in Virginia have now become Second Amendment sanctuary, saying, look, we're not following your law on this. It's wrong. It's unconstitutional. Fuck you. This should A, scare the people of Virginia, B, wake them up, and see everybody else in the country, because this is what they want to do in every state. You don't stand up for your stuff now, you're going to get trampled.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up. I can't. So they voted for it. People wanted that shit.
They voted in the people, yeah. This apparently goes to the floor to get voted on in January in Virginia. You have 1 month.
I don't think it's going to pass.
I think it'll pass easy. They have majorities. They voted in almost all crazy California style liberal Democrats. I think it's going to pass easy. That's scary. So, yeah, Virginia, get your shit together. Unfuck yourself. All right. Now, after that, we got to talk about the Black Friday terror attacks. First, we go to London. Scotland Yard has named the terrorist responsible for the attacks on London Bridge as 28-year-old Usman Khan.
A white guy?
No, not white at all. Let's see. Police raided a house in Staffordshire area that was linked to Khan. They confirmed a man and woman killed in the attack on London Bridge. Khan, who was from Stoke-on-Trent, yeah, I'm sure he was born there, wink, had a prior terrorism conviction and had been jailed for 8 years. He was released on what they call license in December of last year and was still wearing his monitoring tag bracelet.
A license.
Yeah. He was in London to attend Cambridge University course on helping offenders reintegrate into society. The attacker was a convicted terrorist who had served time in prison, was wearing electronic monitoring. The paper added he was attending the Cambridge Conference on Prisoner Rehabilitation and threatened to blow up the building. Man had two knives in his possession when he carried out the attack and a fake, what they didn't know at the time was a fake, explosive vest. Previously arrested December 20th, 2010, 4 days before him and his Al-Qaeda gang planned to plant bombs in the London Stock Exchange. They found handwritten lists of targets, which included the U.S. Embassy and the homes of the London mayor, the dean of St. Paul's Cathedral, and two rabbis. This is what he was convicted for. The gang carried out surveillance of other possible targets, including Big Ben, Westminster Abbey, the Palace of Westminster, and the London Eye. The group planned to send five bombs in the mail to London synagogues and the Church of Scientology headquarters, as well as spreading panic in Stoke-on-Trent by planting bombs in pubs and club toilets. The plot was foiled after security services bugging their homes and cars heard a discussion of a Mumbai atrocity. There was a guerrilla attack in Mumbai in 2008. That was what he was convicted for. A maintenance worker who witnessed the London Bridge knife attack claims he was told the assailant had been in prison for terrorism, convinces Jamie Bockett, 24-year-old from Purley, said he spoke to one of the men who helped wrestle the knife men to the ground after they were taken to be interviewed by police. He said the guy that was on top of him had been in prison. He was, you know, the hero of the terror attack. Yeah, he was a murderer that got the knife away from the Aloha Snack Bar employee. Now, James Ford, 42, was jailed for life in 2004 for the murder of a 21-year-old who was found strangled with her throat cut in Kent in 2003. He was caught. The charity worker, the one that snitched on him, got him arrested. That worker was fired because it broke the confidentiality policy of where she worked. Yesterday, he found himself embroiled in London Bridge attacks as he helped bring down the knifeman while out on day release from his life sentence. You understand that sentence there? He's supposed to be in jail for life.
But he was day release? What day the fuck release. Does that mean?
I don't know. He's understood to be in prison in the final days of his sentence, in open prison in Kent. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the London attacker, saying he was one of their operatives. There's a lot to unpack here. One, you have another Aloha Snack Bar employee killing as many people as he possibly can. You had some of the people that fought him and were getting him down were in a pub, apparently. And one of them grabbed a narwhal horn that was like decorative in the bar, grabbed it, went after the guy with it. Another one grabbed a fire extinguisher.
Oh, they're gonna start banning narwhals now. Fuck
yeah, we need common sense narwhal laws in London. Imagine how quick this would have been over with a gun.
Oh, I know quick. We have listeners don't get him started.
We have listeners in the UK, I think, might have been actually close to where this happened, when it happened. why do you, I don't understand why you let this go on. Hey, the London attack where they're, you know,
oh, the narwhal thing.
Having to grab narwhal horns off the bar wall to, instead of actually being able to protect themselves, you know, by firearms or other means. Yeah.
You know, somebody made them into like superheroes, right?
Yep. And one of them's a murderer, which you missed that part. Yeah. The guy that got the knife away from the guy, he was a convicted murderer, supposed to be in prison for life, but he was out on day release.
Law.
Yeah.
Like I said, what does that even mean? That he just gets to go roam around and not do anything?
Apparently.
That is the most Monty Python thing I've ever heard in my life. You are a clown show, Britton.
I don't know what the hell. That's...
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And that is ridiculous. And then you had... Later you heard about Dutch police say three people were injured in a stabbing in The Hague in Netherlands on Friday night. Attack came just hours after the stabbing incident in London. The Netherlands stabbing took place in The Hague's main shopping street, which was busy with holiday shoppers. Motive is still unknown at this time. Authorities said they were searching for at least one suspect. Originally, they said man in a gray jogging suit, 45 to 50 years old. Late last night, it was reported that police have arrested a suspect in connection with those stabbings. The alleged attacker, who is 35 and apparently homeless. No word on if he was trying to work at the Aloha snack bar like the guy in London. So, we always say, you know, watch your surroundings, and that's why. Just
be cool, baby.
Especially now, holiday season, people's going to be out shopping, big crowds.
A lot of Christians. Easy for the pickings.
Be careful. That's the main takeaway here. All right. Last story of the week. Try to end with a funny one, but it's not really as funny because it's just stupid. Lastly, Will Sloan didn't care much for the new Star Wars character fans have dubbed Baby Yoda. His name's Yiddle. Get over it. The tiny character appears on The Mandalorian show, and its cuddly appearance is saturating pop culture news. And all the hype irked him. He's a Toronto-based podcaster, apparently. So he tweeted his displeasure, and it led to him being flagged by Twitter for harassment. Sloan got pushed over the edge by a Facebook tease for Esquire magazine's Baby Yoda article, which reads, "The Mandalorian has made Baby Yoda an icon of purity, a rare moment where we cross the internet aisle to simply say, this is good." So that apparently made him mad, and out of frustration, he tweeted at the magazine saying, "I actually hope he dies painfully." Within 15 minutes, Twitter sent him a notification claiming he violated its rules against abuse and harassment. He was informed he could still browse Twitter and send DMs, but he wouldn't be able to make or favorite tweets for the next 7 days. He got put in Twitter jail for saying he hoped a fictional character died painfully. All right, that's it for this week's show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Vince, you have any final thoughts?
All right, keep your stick on the ice. If the women don't find you handsome, at least they'll find you handy.
One.
What the heck is that thing in the background? Are you, like, about to sink or something? Is something going to blow?
Probably. All right, can't take the high road, get the high ground. And we'll hopefully talk to everybody next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.